Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. I live in a beautiful historic section of town. The house next to me was a plantation home from the Revolutionary War days. Many of the trees are red oaks, and they are older than our country. One such tree has come into my attention. It is a border tree between two properties. This is a magnificent tree that towers above all others. The same as we think about human age, well, trees also age too. We have wear and tear on our bodies. They have cracks and breaks. I'll come back to the tree in question in a while. To better understand the situation, let's go to Botany 101 class. By the way, I've taught this course many times. I will give you a description of the parts of the trunk from outside to inside. The outer bark is not alive. It is consistently being pushed off by the inner bark, which is new and alive. On many species of tree, you do not notice the old bark falling off because it's a slow process. But on trees like sycamores and their cousins, the London Plane, you see large strips of bark coming off at once. Recently, a neighbor of my parents who live at the shore asked what was wrong with the London Plane on their lawn because she noticed that quite a bit of bark was on the lawn. You look down around the tree base and you see all this bark and you see all the bark peeling at once. Well, she got the Joey B. Botany 101 course right there on her front lawn. Next, inside the outer bark is the cambium layer. This layer is crucial for the growth of the tree. The cambium makes new bark, xylem, phloem. The xylem transports water and nutrients upward. For those of you that feed a plant, so it doesn't matter whether it's a tree or your house plant, and you do not water it, well, the nutrients stay right there in the soil. Water and nutrients must be transported together. So you've got to water that plant. Xylem moves upward, so it's taking water nutrients up where the phloem transports food downward. So as the tree leaves, they make food, the phloem transports downward toward the roots. Most of you have tasted the food that the phloem transports. Some of you go, what do you mean I tasted the food? This is what you tap into in a tree to make syrup. And just so you know that you can make syrup from any tree, and you go, so why are we only sugar maples? Because it's got that great taste. If you had the red oak syrup, which people don't make, it's got this tannic, so it's an acidic taste to it. You would not like your pancakes so much in the morning. Once you move inward from this section of the tree, you'll meet the annual rings, which is the old xylem. This part and the very center of the tree, called the pith, they are not alive. When you get structural damage to a tree over time, it usually occurs here. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of your stores, their experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. In the same manner we care for our bodies, we should do the same for our trees. Careful inspection throughout the year, and especially after storms, is vital. Okay. See, I'm just excited here. I'm in the studio, sun rising. This is no joke. Sun is rising, just poking in because, hey, I'm a morning person. So if I can get there first thing in the morning, so I'm in here. So I guess I will get back to trees. So invest the time in finding a tree company that truly knows the science behind trees. A good example is a classmate of mine at Rutgers University. We both have degrees in botany, and where I went further in my grad work and became an environmental scientist, he went on to get his PhD in botany. Take the time to have a yearly inspection by a quality professional and prune away any necessary problems. So how can you ensure your tree is sound? let's talk external methods of detections and then internal. On trees that are not healthy, you may see a white fungus growing at the base. Inspect limbs for signs of decay and cracks. As you look up into the tree with the tree itself, there are branches where they fork off the main trunk. They're going to form either a U-notch or a V-notch. Just like the letters of the alphabet, you're going to see a rounded movement of the branch away from the intersection. This would be the letter U. And if it's an angled movement, you could see like it's a harsher cut away, that's a V. So what's the difference? One presents a greater danger if there is a problem with the tree. Cracking can occur on either, but there's a greater chance at the V-notch. It's just the physics behind the way it's angled. Please inspect all of them on a large tree, such as the red oak out there. And I have to check out, again, on the tree that I have, it's so huge, there are many U-notches and V-notches on the tree. The next type of inspection is the mallet test. Take a rubber mallet or a wooden one with plastic ends. Tap along the base of the trunk of the tree. If the inner wood is solid, you will hear, and you can actually feel it in the mallet, you hear a solid sound, but you can just feel that solidness of the tree. If the tree is weakened and the structure there is a little bit weaker, you will hear a hollow sound. I'll come back to this later in the show. There are internal inspections of the tree, but please note that they can be costly. Tomographs and resistographs will give imaging results that will give the location and extent of decay. This information can tell you where the tree can fail at. As I noted earlier in the show, make sure that the person conducting the test and reading the results is an expert. I must tell you how I fell in love with plants. And, you know, hey, many of you always ask me questions, and you see me if we're filming Joey B TV somewhere. You're asking me questions about me and how'd you get into it. And so I'm going to tell you. So most of you know that I spent every waking minute that I could out in the wild on our family farm. If there was a tree, look up in it and you would find me. I guess I sort of rhymed that one, but it's really true. I would climb every tree that could hold me. I probably got into some trees that I shouldn't have early on in my career, but as I learned, well, I continued on a course of not just being in nature, but there grew a need for me to learn all about it. Moving forward to Rutgers, if there was an outdoor class, sign me up. So let me take that knowledge and that love and make a career out of it. See, and I often, like, I'm speaking in schools and I tell children, I'm very serious. It's like, whatever you're passionate about, that's probably the career path that you should follow. Hey, and my passion was the outdoors. My passion was plants. My passion was, as Gabby would always say to me, you're the animal scientist, you're the plant scientist. Well, the environmental scientist, we just sort of squish them all together, and that's what it is. So this brings me to my historic home. I moved in here a little over 20 years ago. And this is no joke. As soon as I moved in about 20 years ago, I was container growing chili peppers on my front porch. I ran out of water, and I walk around the back of my home to fill up the watering can. I hear a large crash, and a branch about 6 inches in diameter landed next to me. I thought that was a huge noise for like that size branch. I looked up, and I saw a 150-year-old oak from the opposite direction where I was at on top of the home. It had just crushed my house in half, literally. I know that the good Lord did not want to call me home at that moment because the porch I was on 2 minutes before, I was watering there, leave, and that porch was sawed in half. There were blue tarps on the top of my house for almost 1 year. The tree that came down and made my home a drive-thru, no pun intended, had no signs of decay. A crane was called in. We had to get tree men and a crane expert needed to come and lift the tree off my home. This tree was on my opposite neighbor's property from the tree I have now in question. So now the tree currently in question is, you know, obviously just mentioned as on the opposite side. The owners, they are nice people, but they do not see the need to remove this tree. Remember, it will rip my insides out because of my love for trees to take down this old oak. But I have lived through a major disaster, so there's a little history behind, and I have to keep thinking of that piece of it too. Recently, I had a forester examine the tree, and he performed a mallet test, and I was out there with him, and he showed me there was two specific hollow points in two structural places at the base of the tree. And he repeated over and over that something needs to be done with this tree. Well, you see, he can't tell you, because he can tell you, give you the test and give you the results, but he can't tell you that you should cut a tree down. That's not his purpose. But he kept saying over and over and over that you need to do something about this tree. You need to do something. And we were having a great conversation, two learned people about, you know, plants and trees. Great conversation. But in that conversation, he kept bringing it up. Take a look at that V-notch. And he just kept going. Well, after he left, my neighbor came home and I performed the same test for my neighbor so he could hear the hollow sound. He said that he would bring in his tree guy. A week later, I get a call that his tree guy was there and I could come outside. I opened my garage door and extend my hand because they were literally standing right outside my garage door, and I extend my hand to shake the tree guy's hand, and I'm just going to keep calling the tree guy for now. And instead of hello, he had a scripted line of, this tree is in perfect health. So I just wanted to listen to what he had to say. Now came my simple interrogation to see if this tree guy, you know, was an expert in dendrology, which is the study of trees. He was a man who just wanted someone, including himself, to recognize that he was an expert. I tried to engage in him in a discussion so that I could learn about him to see really what his knowledge was, but he just wanted to say everything he knew about trees in one long, exhausting breath. You can recite the Declaration of Independence, but that does not make you a historian. He continued to discuss the layers of the tree, and I said, well, I have a degree in botany, and I'm not joking. I have no idea if he knew that botany was a study of plants. He continued on about the layers, and I could have been standing there and said right to him, I think I'll paint my face blue right here, right now, in front of you two guys, and he still would have continued speaking. Well, we finally, that is to say, my neighbor and I, this tree guy, myself, started to discuss the pruning of this tree. My neighbor was dead set against the tree removal. The treeman did not agree to the pruning that was necessary to provide safety to all, and that's key. Remember that this is not my tree, so I can only have an input inside of it, but I can't say, hey, you got to do this, you got to do this. So what's my recourse at this point? And what's your recourse if you have the same problem? Again, you might not have it today, but in time you may. So let's talk about it. Safety for all is paramount. In the 20 years that I've lived here, another large oak, now think about this, came down on the property that crushed my home. That one crashed across properties and into the street. Also on the tree in question, prior to my neighbor moving in, another large red oak came down there from the center of their property all the way across, because we have huge properties, all the way across and into the street. And the power lines are not on our sides of the streets, on the other side, and took down all the power lines. They don't have the knowledge that that happened on their property. Well, I've discussed that with them, but they haven't like actually seen it and lived through it. So it's important to note that when the tree crushed my house, there was not a storm, not even a slight wind. Upon inspection of the tree after it came down, there was no internal integrity left inside the tree. You could not see it from the outside. I informed my neighbor that I would have to send him a certified letter. And this is what you're saying, so what's your recourse? That in that letter, it's a notice of liability. I explained to him that this is not something I want to do, but at this juncture in time, I must. He said he deals with liability in his business all the time and understand why I must send the letter. At the end, we shook hands, as all discussions should end. I think his tree guy was still speaking, but like at this point, no one was listening to him. Always make every effort to have a peaceful solution to a problem. Hey, you're not always going to agree with someone, but a handshake to agree to disagree is important. And my neighbor and I, that's how we left it. I believe a very good man has his own thoughts, wants to protect the tree, but safety for all is my concern. So I hope you learned about tree safety and how to properly test the structural integrity of a tree. And I will update you on future shows about the red oak in question. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.